from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. All over the world on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, all over the network, the Michigan Talk Network, on all our great affiliate stations throughout the Great Lakes State. If you'd like to be an affiliate, or maybe you know an affiliate radio station that would like to have us, by all means, send us your information to outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Would love to be out in your area, okay? More than just a podcast. Okay, we are on the radio, and we would like to be in your town as well as all the other great affiliates that we are joining today on this this weekend here in Michigan, making our way into May, which I'm very happy about. We've got turkey season already underway. The walleye been doing great in Lake Erie and on Detroit River. Of course, reports I got last week, there was some pretty tough goings there in the clear waters of the Detroit River, but still doing pretty well if you move around, especially on the Canadian side. Where things seem to do a little bit better, which I've never understood, but hey, that's just how fishing goes. So make sure you have the proper documentation when you're out fishing. Want to thank our friends at Not Just Guns for bringing us to you each and every week. Find them online, notjustguns.com, and anywhere in the country that you are listening to this show, you can have things shipped to you via their website, notjustguns.com. Same thing goes for Conquest Sense. Find them online, conquestsense.com. Both have links on our website. Now, as we get into May, it seems that the bass fishing, although the season isn't open yet, the targeting, catching, and releasing, immediate release of largemouth bass is legal here in Michigan, and thanks in part to our good friend Dan Kimmel and his friends at GreatLakesBass.com, because they fought for that to happen. There was absolutely no reason that shouldn't have been able to happen, that we could target bass, catch them, immediately release them in the off-season period. And it's only been going on for a couple of years. And we've got Dan Kimmel right now joining us. How are you, sir?
I'm fine because I get to go bass fishing. I start as soon as the ice melts.
Right? As soon as you can get out, man, I know you're out there.
Yeah, this year was really bad because it seemed a little slow. I kept driving. I think I drove to Round Lake 3 or 4 days in a row watching the ice and just begging the fish gods, please melt.
Yeah, it's just, we still have the cold weather, the wind and everything else, and it just seems this winter will not let go. I mean, we had it fairly easy for the first 4 winters of the 5 winters we have here in Michigan, but it won't let go. We won't get spring, and you know what's going to happen? We're going to go right from winter into summer, directly back into winter again this year. That's just my take.
That's what a lot of people think, and I mean, it'd be nice to know, but I did have a guy on shore. I was the only one on a lake, and he said, man, you're hardy. And I said, well, somebody's got to be, because the fish are there. They're waiting to be caught.
Mm-hmm. Now, with water this cold, because, I know bass are usually more active in a warmer water, but with water temps, because we have air temps, they're still cold, even though, and we've had limited light. We've had limited sunlight bring those water temps up. So even in the cold water, how are those bass reacting?
Yeah, they want to do, I always say they want to do their thing really bad, just like we do. And so since last weekend when it was so nice, they're hitting like it's summer right now, a lot of them. I mean, I'm thinking their pike, they're hitting so hard. If you're using... Use something that looks like a bluegill right now, and it's getting about ripped right out of your hand.
I like that because over the years, I've really not been the bass angler that I have been in the past. I've gone on to like walleye and trout and things of that nature, but I love a good fight, especially out of, you know, like smallmouth. But largemouth, they can be just logs on the other end of that line.
Yeah, I caught one yesterday that hit so hard, and then it took me through every thick green new pad stem and viney weed that it could find. And I didn't know if I was going to get it in the boat.
Now, you said, you know, something resembling a bluegill. Are you using like a swim bait? Are you using like a hard body crankbait? And what depth are you kind of running for these things?
Yeah, I have a spinnerbait that looks, it must really look like a bream in the water. It's called a bream color. Some companies make them, and it's kind of a bigger, slower one because the water's cold, so not everything's moving real fast right now. And I just throw it out, and I slow roll it through anywhere from right near shore to out in 6, 7, 8 foot of water, depending on what I'm fishing. I like to look for big fish offshore if I can find them.
Now, are you sight fishing? Is the water clear enough to be doing that?
Well, I try to pick dark water lakes, so it depends on the weather, the rain, and the wind. But I can usually see 5, 6, 7 foot in most lakes in Michigan. And so when I can, I sight fish, and I try to keep a low profile, and I don't move fast. I don't wear bright colors, and I think that makes a big difference.
Yeah, I know. I mean, fish have that upward look, you know, always looking above them to feed or whatever. Excuse me. But, you know, keeping the colors mute, you know, and the motion low really does help because, I mean, shadows get cast in that water as well.
Yeah, I try to come in with the sun over my shoulder when I can. Can't always do it, but I try to because the fish can see a little farther in certain lights because of that refraction. And that's why a lot of times they're either not there and you don't know it, or they're spooked or they're hard to catch. So that's a little trick I like to use. The sun over my shoulder is what I look for.
Dan Kimble, GreatLakesBass.com is his website. For as long as I've known you, the 15 years that I've known you, Dan, you are always working on and improving that website. And web design has come a very long way in that amount of time as well. It's made things a lot easier for us.
Yes, and that's what I do when I'm not fishing. I do websites. So my Bass website is the oldest one I have right now. It really needs a facelift, but I'll get to it one of these days. But the information on it is what's more important.
Right. And there is a lot of good information there. And we'll talk about that here in a couple of minutes. But again, Dan, I mean, you were one of these guys that fought very hard to be able to target bass and immediate catch and release here in Michigan, because we really didn't have that.
Right, yeah, it's pretty rare. I mean, there's 46 states where you can have a regular bass trimmer all year somewhere in the state out of 49. To me, that says a lot about where we need to be.
Yeah, 46 out of 49. We've been a little slow on the go with that, but again, it's proved out. Your hard work has proved to be very beneficial to anglers here in the state.
Yeah, I try. There's a lot of little rules. I want people to be able to fish whenever they can go. That's, to me, that's just important. I mean, people need access, but these days everybody says I'm busy. So make it so they can go fishing whenever they can go. Nice day in March, go fishing.
All right, real quickly, Dan, when is the regular season for bass open up?
Most of the state, it's Memorial Weekend, Saturday.
All right, so we will be watching for that. We're going to talk more with Dan Kimble here in a couple of minutes. He is GreatLakesBass.com. We are being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns in Mason, Cedar Street at 127. We'll also be talking to Mike Green from Not Just Guns coming up in the next segment here as well. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here all over the Michigan Talk Network and being brought to you by our friends at Conquest Scents in Davison, Michigan, makers of lots of fine products like the Scrape Tool, the VS1, and the Evercalm Scents in a Stick. And those things you can be use, you know, especially the Evercalm, pretty much year-round when you're going out to check trail cameras as a cover scent, or maybe doing some work out there, trimming some lanes or whatever you're doing. Use a little Evercalm out there ahead of going out. That way you leave that curiosity scent of deer for them and much less of you in the woods. Now we're going to come back to Dan Kimmel. GreatLakesBass.com is his website, talking a little bit about the early bass fishing before the opener, Memorial Day weekend. And Dan, when we are bass fishing, we know they like a lot of heavy cover. They are they can be very aggressive on the bite, and they're opportunistic when it comes to feeding. But in this early springtime, we don't have a lot of the green weeds that we normally do in the summertime. And we don't, I mean, there's still some that remain resident throughout the course of the year that make it through the ice. But, I mean, how are you targeting, I mean, when you have that much more open cover?
Right. And definitely you keyed in on the green weeds. If you can find good green weeds this time of year, on a lot of lakes, you want to check that. But what I love to do is fish isolated, whatever alternate color is there, cover is there. And a lot of times it's wood. And a lot of people forget lily pad roots and big lily pad stems, clumps. Those are what I look for in a lot of the lakes I like to fish this time of year. Because where else are the bass going to be? You said they're going to be around cover, and that's what's available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because
so I look for that, and it's it can be amazing.
We know that their food sources, the smaller fish, things of that nature, crayfish, whatever they're eating, will tend to stay in that cover. And of course, they're going to be where the food source is, because that's where the oxygen is from the green weeds. And it's a nice little cycle. Once we get that in our head, it'll make things targeting them a little bit easier.
Yeah, and you keyed it again. I mean, where's the bait? Bass love to eat. I mean, you see me out in the wild, you'll see that I love to eat too. Bass love to eat. And if you can find where all those little bluegills are showing up, you know there's bass either there already or coming soon.
Yeah, if you see a fiend in the bakery department at Kroger, you know it's Dan Kimmel.
Yeah. You brought up creamhorns earlier. Now I got it stuck in my head.
I did. I'm sorry, because that all stems back to a walleye trip we took, and Dan had his own package of creamhorns, and I'm like, what? but you know, I mean, when you're on the river, you got to survive, right?
Right. And I didn't know we were going to catch them as good as we caught them that day. We really caught them that day.
Yeah, it was a good day out with our good friend Ron Spensley, who I ran into over the weekend. And he was giving me the report about how tough it was. He said, yeah, he's like, the water was gin clear and it was awful difficult. But they still managed to pull 15 in the boat, which in my world is a pretty good day. But when you have that kind of concentration in the Detroit River and that's all you pull in, then that makes it a tough day, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I like to say we're spoiled in Michigan. I mean, we have some of the best fishing of all different kinds. I mean, people are coming here from everywhere. I hear from about every continent except Antarctica about guys wanting to come here bass fishing.
Well, and that's it, too. I mean, we have, you know, the best trout fishing in the country. We have the best walleye resources in the country. Lake St. Clair is, I mean, known for smallmouth bass, for musky fishing, you know, and we have what I consider the best people to talk about that here on this show. You've been doing it with me here for 15 years now, and I don't think we've steered anybody wrong.
No, I try not to. Like I said, I want people to catch fish.
Right.
So I try to give out as much information as I can.
Now, this is a time, too, that If you can get, now shore fishing might be a little difficult because of all the rain we've had. I mean, we had a lot of rain. How is that changing how you're looking at things? Because that puts the structure deeper. Are they going to find shallower structure? Are they going to stay in those areas?
Yeah, and bass are notorious for going into new cover. So right now, one of the lakes I'm fishing, the water just came up a few more inches, and there's fish so far back in thick brush, I can't skip anything to them. I mean, I just can't get a bait to them. So they're it's like they're taunting me. They're back there, sploosh, and I can't get a bait to them.
So are they still hitting topwater then? Even in the, well, I mean, that upper column is going to be warmer anyway. But I mean,
right.
Are they still
when they're
hitting?
Doing that, they are. Yeah, they are. I caught an amazing fish on a frog that I skipped, and it bounced over three or four branches. And when I lifted up, it didn't want to come back. So I set the hook, and I had to this bass. I don't know how I got it out because it was like a 3.5 pounder. But man, that I remember that bite and that fish really well because of that.
Yeah, I can imagine. Dan Kimmel, our guest, GreatLakesBass.com. Just, you know, Dan, it just amazes me how May is that turn-on time for bass fishing. It's always been that way. And like I said, we really couldn't, you know, it's like you almost felt guilty if you caught one, you didn't throw it back in a hurry. You know, like you're being watched.
Right, right. And you might have been, depending on, you know, what you were doing and what kind of boat you were in. I used to always have to tell people, you know, I don't have a walleye boat and a perch boat and a musky boat. I have a bass boat, but I can fish, you know, whatever I can fish out of that same boat.
No, it's been great, man. I've had the opportunity to fish with you in the past myself, and it was definitely a great time. Trying to think, what else? There was something I was going to throw at you. Oh, you'd mentioned free lures, that this time of year is a great time for free lures. You're going to have to expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, well, there's not a lot of people out, so I was fishing Round Lake a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and I see something bright and shiny, and it's a little square-bill crankbait caught in some weeds. So I picked that up. Then I went to another lake that has pike and muskie, and I see this bright orange thing down in the water. I look, and it's a big jointed fluorescent repellent, brand new, just sitting there, wrapped around some weeds. And then on this third lake, I'm anchored, and I see something floating by, and it's another square-bill crankbait.
See,
so I don't know who you are, but thank you for the free lures.
Well, that's about $25 right there in free lures.
Yeah, $26. I couldn't believe it. And a homemade steel leader.
Well, see, and the other thing is, too, this is now the time, believe it or not, to start checking those low-hanging branches because there aren't any leaves on the trees. And anything that got caught up and left behind is like picking free fruit.
That's how I got a swim jig last year at Round Lake. It was hanging from a branch, and I got my flipping stick out and flipped up there and yanked it down.
See, not only is the information we give you priceless when it comes to arming yourself in the outdoors for going after stuff, but the savings that we bring to you, the
yeah,
way to save
but I
money.
Did not, and I didn't keep the street hockey stick that I snagged, so I left that at the lake.
Well, you know, the fish need cover too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Dan Kimmel's our guest here on Wild Michigan. Make sure you find him on his website, GreatLakesBass.com. Get out and get some fishing in. Dan Kimmel, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. More talk. We're going to talk with Mike Green from Not Just Guns. Also, we're going to get a call from Ireland because the brown trout season's about ready to go on out there. The wild trout here on Wild Michigan. On the Michigan Talk Network.
Hey, this is Nick Munn of Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, book knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale. Around here.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Happy to have you here with us. And thanks to Dan Kimmel from GreatLakesBass.com. Thanks to Conquest Sense for being a part of this show. Also, thanks to Not Just Guns for being a part of this show as well for a couple of years now. Very happy to have it. Mike, I actually think we're going into like 3 years, and it's been such a fun ride so far. Mike Green from Not Just Guns joining me right now. And I can't believe that we've been together this long, man. It's crazy.
And all feels like a blink of an eye, doesn't it?
Absolutely. But it's been great because you've had so many people, new people come through the door, and we've had a lot of people ask us about what you have going on, and you guys are ever evolving. As a matter of fact, Mike, you are one of these gun shops like I've never seen before because you are constantly digging up ammo for your customers, digging up new firearms deals for your customers, and asking them what they want. Not hey, what have I got here that I can sell you and get off my shelf? It's what do you want? What fits your needs? And that is so important when it comes to firearms or anything else in life.
Very true. Very true. We're pretty blessed to have a really good inventory, and have been blessed all through COVID. We probably have close to 150 firearms that aren't on display. So we literally had to hang signs in the store to say, if you don't see it, ask. It's probably in a box in the back, on a shelf in the back, or on a truck on its way to us.
The one thing that has impressed me, Mike, is the hard to get ammo that you guys have had a really good supply of.
There's another place we've been blessed. It's, you know, all about the relationships that you build in the industry. And we've been very fortunate to build some good relationships and have a fairly steady supply of most of the hard to get stuff.
Yeah, it's been, what has been probably the most popular round that we see? I'm sure it's going to be 223-556 rounds because so many people are going to tactical firearms nowadays.
Absolutely. 223-556. Those are probably the number one or number two seller. Right there with it would be 9mm. As far as firearm sales and ammunition sales, those calibers are probably the number one and number two.
Man,
absolutely.
Now, what because you're in this business, maybe you can help me understand a little more. I mean, I understand the versatility of tactical firearms, but there has been such a switch from, you know, from what I've always grown up with shotguns and rimfire guns to these tactical firearms now that are extremely versatile. I mean, you can use them for deer hunting, predator hunting, and all kinds of things like that. But, I mean, what do you honestly think the uptick has been with this style of firearm?
Well, it's not just the person that wants to have a modern sporting rifle, an AR-15, some type of sub-gun. It's not just the home defense. It's just like you mentioned. It's target shooting. A lot of these guns have low recoil, very easy to operate, extremely controllable, accurate. So family shooting, hunting, predator hunting, deer hunting, lots of target shooting. And then there's a lot of people that want to get educated, so they'll buy one of these and then go jump into one of our carbine classes or somebody else's carbine class and really learn to use that gun for more of a defensive, you know, home defense type training and situation. It's a combination of all, I think.
Yeah, it's been one of those things that, you know, look, man, when I was working for a big box sporting goods place back in the 90s, we had more shotguns than you could ever, you know, ever want. I mean, we had tons of them. We had a good amount of handguns. But now there is like 60-40, 70-30 split when it comes to the new versatile tactical guns versus the old school shotguns.
Absolutely. And believe it or not, shotguns have made a big resurgence in the home defense and more tactical applications. Shotguns have been doing really well ever since around the time COVID started. That trend just continues to grow. Along with the hunting side of it, we sell a ton of shotguns, more than we ever have, ever in history. 15 years, we're selling more shotguns a day now than we ever have.
Can I credit that to me?
Crazy.
Because, because
yeah.
I mean, we like to talk a lot about upland game hunting and things like that. And there are things you just can't do with a tactical firearm. I mean, you know, you need
Correct.
Shot. You need that pattern. I look at mine, and I have a lot of them that haven't even been out of the box yet. I look at them, I'm like, gosh, you guys, you know, you're beautiful. I love you. But these newfangled ones, you know what, Mike, and I'll say this, and I appreciate you joining us, because when I look at these tactical firearms, they're intimidating looking to someone who doesn't know. It appears to be a lot of working parts, but they really are very simple to take down and clean.
Extremely simple. Once we go through it with a customer, they're like, that's it. You're like, yeah, that's it. They're a very simple, very well-designed firearm. They run and run and run. Low maintenance, very easy to operate, very easy to maintain. You just got to do it right.
Yeah. That's just it, too, because doing it right with anything in life is doing it worthwhile. They look very intimidating, but there's really not a lot to them. There are ways to make them so adjustable that only one is needed for an entire family as well.
Absolutely. And the modularity of these things, let's face it, we like to joke around that they're the Barbie doll for men. I mean, there's an accessory for everything for that gun and that platform. So it's, we'll call it mission configurable, right? Whether I'm going out to plink with my nephew at the range and teaching some marksmanship, or whether I'm going to go take a class and learn how to better, you know, perform this with this firearm, or whether I'm going to go hunt with it, I can make a few changes, change calibers, change accessories, optics, and a lot of this stuff is designed to go right back and snap back onto the gun. Your optic may change from a scope to a red dot, and it may go right back to zero. If you put it in a good mount, it returns to zero, no resighting. So this platform is just so easy to modify and adapt to what we want to do and what application we're applying it to. It's just, again, what makes it so popular.
Yeah, it just, speaking of Mike Green from Not Just Guns here in Wild Michigan, it's, you know, we want to educate people and have them understand that the black scary gun is everything but that. You know, and that's why what we're trying to portray here and let people know. And because you guys offer so many classes to help you understand these things, that really completes the circle. I mean, as far as going in and looking for one of these.
Absolutely. And it's not just our classes. We recommend a lot of good Michigan and, you know, other out-of-state trainers, but Michigan's got some of the best training out there. We've got some organizations here in the state that we push really hard, and we're always trying to get somebody to educate themselves. If we can make a step up and get them to be safer, more knowledgeable, it's a responsibly armed citizen.
No,
if you know what I mean.
No, I do. I do know exactly what you mean, and it's, that is what's so important about what you do and how you guys have presented yourself, and that to me has been something that I'm like eternally grateful for, because it's just so important to get that kind of service from anybody in any industry. But when you're dealing with something like firearms, that's over and above to me important.
Absolutely. Safety first, and you know, education.
Absolutely.
Education. It's the same thing with the suppressors as we talked before. It's the same thing.
All right.
Education process.
We're going to talk more with Mike Green, find out what is new with him at Not Just Guns, and talk about all kinds of fun stuff here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Happy to have you here and happy to have Conquest Sense on board for bringing you the show on the Michigan Talk Network. Also via our website where you can pick up the podcast absolutely free, no commercial interruptions whatsoever. And that will be, again, at our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can find links to our great sponsors and our great friends on there, like Not Just Guns, which we are speaking with Mike Green right now. Mike, you've got a pretty comprehensive website as to what goes on for your store, but in a few weeks, you're going to be launching an even bigger and better website that's going to kind of blow this one out of the water.
Absolutely. We've for the last 3 years, we've researched every point of sale system and website, e-commerce site out there, and we finally settled with one. Actually, they're about halfway through building the site, but that site will have every piece of inventory we have in the store, along with all the inventory that's available in our distributors, and it will clearly define whether that's in store and available for pickup or shipping immediately from there, or whether it's coming from one of the warehouses. But it'll be over 3 million items on there all the time, along with our used firearms. So we should have 200 to 300 used firearms available 24/7 for people to peruse and see high def pictures, good descriptions, et cetera, et cetera.
That is huge, huge. And if anybody's ever driven past Not Just Guns, you look at it and go, where is everything? But when you walk inside, it's so deceiving from the outside to the in. So much you guys have taken and smartly put together every inch of that retail space with product that you sell and have an inventory. And it is literally not just guns. It's everyday carry equipment, knives, magazines, optics, suppressors, all of the things involved in what we love to do. Ammunition, I don't want to forget anything, but there's just so much stuff in there that we can't exactly, you know, I couldn't talk about all of it. But the website is what's so important, because we have so many people that listen to the show, Mike, outside of Michigan. California is like our second biggest listenership for podcasts, and we have a lot in Ohio, Indiana, Wisconsin, and then on the east side of the country we have a lot of listenership over there. And where you're hearing this show is where you can get stuff. You can go right to your website at notjustguns.com and purchase there, and you guys do all the workings to get that to them.
Absolutely. And the site we have now, we've actually been pulling items and taking them down, and it's a smaller inventory than what we'd like. But we're really trying to focus. So, like, let's talk about Nighthawk custom pistols. I've been ordering California compliant models for the last year. It's about an 18-month, two-year wait for one of their firearms, with the anticipation of being able to put those online and deal with some of the states that have compliance issues, and thus building guns for outside of our market and carrying knives from different brands that are legal in different states for their compliance laws, and trying to focus on not just our local customers, but this new website will help, because we'll have product that applies to everybody.
Man,
should be pretty good growth for us.
That's crazy. I mean, just absolutely crazy to have that at your fingertips. I mean, definitely taking full advantage of technology, which is fantastic. But helping people, because, you know, I'll guarantee somebody that wants to buy a firearm still may not know all the rules of their own state. In California, having so damn many, frankly, to even know that there are California-compliant firearms, makes one think, what, do they shoot rubber bands only? I don't know. But you know that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yep. What happens all the time, we get somebody that buys something off a website or over the phone, and we a lot of times can't sell it to them. You've got to educate your own customers sometimes, just because they don't know. This stuff is changing all the time, and it's not written the easiest for everybody to understand. And you get somebody new, happens at least 2-3 times a month where we have something that we can't sell to a person in a state.
Yeah, it's just it's crazy, man. When I was talking to our salesman, Dave Hodges, who represents both of us, you know, we were talking about, you know, about the podcast and people that listen online. And I guess I wasn't thinking like a normal individual, thinking, you know what, those people can buy from you also. But then again, it came to mind about the difficulties of maybe a New York, a New Jersey, a California, because of the stringent laws they have on the books about firearms.
Absolutely. Massachusetts has certain compliances that are just minor nuances, different than other states. Connecticut, there's more than you think out there. And if you don't deal with it every day, you wouldn't know.
Now, if you don't mind me asking, speaking with Mike Green from Not Just Guns on Wild Michigan, a California compliant firearm, okay, it sounds funny, but what does that really mean? I mean, is it a magazine capacity? Is it like smog filters? I don't know. It's just they've got some crazy stuff going on over there. I'm not quite sure.
Well, it's a little bit of both, to be honest with you. Handguns, if it's not on an approved list that they approved, you can't even change the color.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, it's that drastic on rifles. They've got to have, you know, mag buttons, magazine limited capacity, fixed stocks, you know, it's a list that just goes on and on of ridiculousness, but it's obviously stuff we got to deal with. We got to comply.
Yeah, that's, but you know what? I mean, we live there and we have the ability not to live there, which is fantastic. But those who do choose to live there that want to, you know, want to own things, kind of have to follow the rules. So, you know, and I guess a lot of people aren't going to move just to change the rules. Some will, some won't. But real quickly, Mike, what's the big seller right now? Here we are. We're coming into spring. We're getting out. We're doing some target shooting and things of that nature. But what's hot right now?
Well, I'll tell you, to be honest with you, springtime carry guns for self-defense and concealed carry have started to rise back up. They dipped a little bit after the whole COVID thing, but they're on the rise. Long-range precision. Guys wanting to come out and, you know, buy a new 308, 6.5 Creedmoor, 6mm Creedmoor, 6.5 PRC, 300 PRC. A lot of guys doing long-range precision shooting. And it's kind of tying in from the leftover Predator season, where you've got a lot of guys that will come in and they're shooting a lot of the new 6mm ARC, 6mm Creedmoor, building real nice Predator guns, but they're also, you know, taking a long-range precision class with them and, you know, wanting to stretch these things out to 1,000 yards, 1,200, 1,400, et cetera. And there's been a real big push in that market over the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, it's blown up. I mean, pardon the pun, but I mean it's gotten huge. A lot of these new things have gotten just quite big. And real quickly too, the everyday carry stuff, the knives and extra magazines, accessories, all that stuff has got to be tough to keep in stock also because it's so popular.
It is, and it's constantly, you're constantly ordering and changing and new product coming out, flashlights. I mean, you wouldn't believe how many different flashlights we carry, whether they're weapon-mounted, pocket, EDC, everyday carry, go bag-type stuff, flashlights, pocket knives, multi-tools, backpacks, daily carry for your old handgun and your laptop and go about your business. I mean, all that stuff is extremely popular.
Yeah, that's fantastic, man. I mean, you want to say that there must have been a great time to come into this business, but with technology and things going on and the changes and the open-mindedness for people to want to, you know, experiment with the new types and new styles of firearms, and the fact that you can go to Not Just Guns and buy a Barrett. I'm looking at your website.
Right.
How cool is that? That, you know, if I had a few extra bucks laying around that I could go spend, you know, buy me a 50 BMG that I could, you know, take out something, you know, a target at a mile. Not that I'd ever be that good, but man, the ability to own it would be fantastic.
Yep, and we sell quite a few. We've sold a few this month already. We also have belt-fed Modus 50 BMG in there, semi-auto only for sale, if you notice that. A lot unusual.
Well, you know, it comes down to one thing about being an American, is because I can.
Absolutely.
That's, that to me is exactly why, you know, people buy the firearms that they do. And I don't hold that against them one bit. Believe me, if I had that, that kind of income to be able to have disposable, Lord knows I would look like Charlton Heston's basement.
Absolutely.
Oh man, it's always great having you on here. We've been talking about it. I mean, gosh, it's been great, Mike, in the past 3 years to have you on here. We hope to have you on for many, many more. And again, Mike Green, Not Just Guns, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Not Just Guns, Cedar Street 127 in Mason. Find them online, notjustguns.com. Anywhere you hear this show, they will be able to take care of you. Thanks to our friends at Conquest Sense. Thanks to Dan Kimmel as well. We're going to have a whole nother hour come your way. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.